Blog Talk Radio.
On this Monday, January 23rd, 2012, I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we're going to be doing our thing this evening as we always do. We got some special guests that's going to be on the show, and what we're going to do before we get into this guest, we're going to give you a little bit of admin, and then we're going to go forth as we do. Waiting on Miss Cotton, she's going to be coming in and doing some poetry for us today, and we also got the author, Miss Jules. She's going to be here this evening talking about her stuff as well. So, but just want to let you know, We got some new stuff coming out. Like I said, this year is a lot of things with Word Sexy Radio is doing pretty well. And we also have a new book, well, several books that's going to be coming out this year out of Midwest Publishing Group. One of them that I'm looking at that is very important is one that I'm doing on my as my own name. It's a personal thing that I've done. It's called Change Your Lifestyle, Change Your Life, and it's going to be coming out here pretty soon about how I went through losing weight. You know, I lost over 110 pounds in 13 months and still counting, trying to tone it up right now and getting it right. So when I do make the circuit and get out and start doing these book signings and making these conferences, I'll look like something and won't be looking really bad. So I just feel better about myself and how I did it and why I did it. And it's going to come out in the book. I figured I'd put it out there and let everybody, you know, maybe they can, I can inspire someone with that. And we also have some other stuff coming out. There's another installment of the Scandalous Motives series that's coming out. Scandalous Motives, one decade later. So all those characters that you know are coming back 10 years later. So we got this thing going on with them. And I'm sure that everybody who's been keeping up with the series is, wants to know what's going on with those folks as well. So. But like I said, we got a lot of stuff going on in there, and some of the people on the panel, we're going to give them a chance when they come on to kind of talk about the things that they have going on. But what I'm going to do right now is I see a couple of numbers. I'm going to see who I have here, and this is a 267 number. Where are you calling from? State your name. Is this Miss Jules?
Hi, this is Jules.
How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Well, it's great to have you on the show, and because I know you have your own show, and it's always a pleasure. You know, I see you all the time on Facebook doing fabulous things, and I just wanted to, you know, kind of put a voice with a pretty face, so I'm glad to be able to do that this evening.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and also, I see that you graduated from VCU, and I got some little bit of background with that place up there in Petersburg, and a little bit of stomping grounds and a little stuff I did up in that area. So, you know, you already is good on my side because you went to that school. So.
Oh, yeah. VSU, I love it.
That's right. Did you pledge when you were there?
I did not. I was trying to get out of school. So
yeah,
I needed to focus.
Okay, I understand because it's very hard to focus in VCU. I know, not VCU, but VSU, and I know it's one of those deals up there, you know, Virginia State, because it kind of reminds me when I walk on that campus, although I didn't actually go to that school, I, like I said, I lived in the area for a while, and you know, I was stationed out there in the military at Fort Lee, so I did a lot of time up there at the campus, and, you know, it just reminds me of school days when you walk around, especially that the one area where the big hall is, I can't think of the name of it right now, with the clock tower. I mean, I tell you, that just, it just gives me that look, you know. So that's how I get it when I look at it. So you know, but this, you know, I'm going to give you a chance right now because what I'm going to do is I got Ms. Cotton, and she's here as well. Are you there, Ms. Cotton?
I am here.
How you doing? Say hello to Ms. Jules.
Hi, Ms. Jules. How are you?
Hello there, Ms. Cotton. How are you?
Good.
Okay, so what we're going to do, Jules, I'm going to let you introduce yourself and kind of give people a chance to know who you are, and then I'm going to have Cotton do some poetry for us, and then we're going to get into you in the second hour, but I want you to be here to hear all this because I want to get some feedback from you and you know, get some of your stuff because, you know, you are a radio host as well, and I just want to get you involved if that's all right with you.
Oh, it's fine with me.
Okay, so give us some background on you.
Well, as you already know, my name is Jules. I'm from Philadelphia. I am currently promoting my very first novel, Emotional Ties, which was released on November 25th, Black Friday. It seems to be doing pretty well. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback about the story. You know, a lot of, especially females, have said that they've been able to identify with some of the characters in the book, which was my goal. It basically follows the story of it tells the story of a young girl following her from the age of 17 into adulthood and how she experienced what she thought was love for the first time, and she gets hurt only to find out that the true love that she had, she doesn't really know it's true love because she's still emotionally tied to the one who hurt her. But there are some other little twists and turns in the story, because there is someone in the background who has always been infatuated with the main character, and there's some things that jump off there. So,
okay, well, we're gonna get into that in the second hour. We're gonna get the book. We ain't gonna talk about it, but we're gonna kind of talk about how you came up with the story and how much of it is about you or somebody that you know as well. But what I'm gonna do right now is, and she always says she's not an erotic poet, but this woman is so smooth when she does her poetry, and she's not a spoken word poet. She is a poet. And I just want to give Ms. Cotton a chance to go ahead and kind of talk about her new project as well, and then we're going to get some poetry from her.
Okay. This is actually my sixth book that I've written, and this book is titled Sweet Mangoes. It's not available yet. It will be available February coming up here, and so I'm actually having a contest in the love letter. I don't know if you saw that, Red, but I'm having a contest of the five top persons that can give me their most romantic experience or their most romantic moment that they've ever had or done with someone. And the top five people will get Sweet Mangoes, a signed copy of Sweet Mangoes.
Wow, I didn't know that you was doing that. And I usually keep up with what you do in the love letter, because a lot of your inspiration is there, and a lot of people get, they can't go through their day until they've read something from the love letter. So I don't know why I didn't get that, but I tell you what, I appreciate you telling me about that, because that's a very good project that you have going, and I think that would be good, a good way of promoting your book and getting it out there where people can actually get it, because, you write such erotic stuff, even though it isn't erotic. I guess it's just things you're going through. But and also, I just want to let you know, Jules, this is explicit, so we say what the fuck we want to on this show. So if you feel like you got to cuss, you go ahead and do that. It's okay.
Nice.
It won't get bleeped. Okay? All right. So,
trust me, I
understand.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. I know you do.
Oh, we've had quite a few doozies on She Say, He Say, trust and believe.
I know. And your show is great because it's usually around the same time as mine, but I do go back and kind of listen to some of the shows, after, because they're recorded. So, y'all have a great show as well. And, I applaud you and hope that y'all continue to keep it going. So.
Well, thank you very much. I have to definitely give a shout out to my co-host, T. Real, who's with me every Monday. He's the he part of the He Say. And I think we have a really good chemistry. So I enjoy myself.
Okay. Well, you, that's what you got to do. You got to have a chemistry. And as you know, I don't know if you heard Word Sexy before, but, we have a panel here. And I think the other he that's part of the show is here now. DV, are you there? He's somewhere. He'll be in later. I know he said he was going to be a little late today. So, but when he comes in, we'll get him, and I'm sure he'll have a lot to say. So, but what I want to do right now is go ahead and get Ms. Cotton to give us one of her poetry, something that she would like to discuss with us, or something to get us a little hot heated here, because I know it's going to be hot. Because she always does that shit when she says it. It's not erotica, and then she turns around and gets everybody all hot and bothered. So let's see if it works. Go ahead.
This piece is from, of course, Sweet Mangoes, my current book that'll be upcoming. It's called The Explosion of Love. It wasn't even the sex that created the explosion. See, we had not even gotten that far. He did things like secure each layer as he was building what led up to what was about to happen, things like calling me late night just to say goodnight after doing a show, like leaving rose petals on my doorstep. So when I would leave the house, I could step onto a bed of roses just because I was the second thought of his morning. It wasn't that he would buy me expensive gifts, although he could afford it, but he created a different explosion. By doing the simple things that money can't buy, he wanted my heart and mind For him having my body was the last of securing a future with me. He did things like calling to tell me about his day or just asking me about mine. Not just coming over after 9, he felt that would be disrespectful to me. You know what they say, any call after 9 is a booty call, and he wasn't just looking for the booty. He knew it was there, but he also knew if he secured other parts of me first, then the booty would definitely be part of the package. The explosion I'm speaking of was an explosion of love, and he knew exactly how to create it. Kissing me on my cheek or softly on my lips, sometimes just making small talk, allowing me to be a part of his day. Just hanging out, enjoying things like the weather, the smell of fresh-cut grass, or watching the leaves fall from the trees. See, this is the explosion that I mentally need. Softly spoken.
Okay. So, Jules, what do you think about that? Are you in the porch?
I loved it. I loved it.
Okay.
I give anybody credit that does poetry because I think it's just, it is a very unique work of art, a play on words. So anybody who can do that, I give them all the credit in the world because I've tried it, not my strength, but.
Well, at least she was able to admit that you couldn't do it because there's some people that's out there doing poetry that can't. And they still try to do the shit, you know, and they think they this, and that's why they call themselves spoken word artists. And they get out there and they be, and he said, and be trying to sing through this shit, and they just don't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's terrible.
That just that just don't work. But, you know, they think they doing poetry, or they have to come out with some evil, or bringing themselves out of, I'm a lesbian and I just can't help it because I like eating pussy. Well, okay, that's fine. But you ain't got to put it in poetry and let me know that that's what you want to do.
Wow.
You know, but it's fine. I mean, everybody do what they got to do. That's what they do. So, you know, I mean, that's okay. I know I went off on that one. I'm sorry.
I thought it was beautiful. I really did because, you know, when you first started out, it may appear that it was going to be erotic, but actually it wasn't. It was very romantic and, you know, that kind of tugs at my heartstrings, you know.
See, that's what I like, because you never know where she's going to go with it, you know what I'm saying? And,
right.
And that's what I like about it, you know, and she's been doing it. I've been knowing Cotton for about 4 years now almost, and she's always got something new, and she has six poetry books out right now, and that's very good, very good. You know, a lot of
congratulations.
That inspires a writer, you know, you should go ahead and do that. So, but what inspired you to write that, Cotton?
Actually, I thought about what makes. I mean, because there are so many things that cause an explosion inside of you, and it's not necessarily the sex. Sometimes it's the little bitty things, like if he thinks about you throughout the day and maybe he sends you a text or maybe he sends you a bouquet of flowers or maybe he stops to pick a flower and bring it to your front door. And, you know, it could be 5 minutes or it could be 6 hours. It's just it's the things that people don't think about that are the most important because you can buy anything to make it big. But sometimes it's the small things that really cause the explosion.
Right. You know, I can take that a little deeper. You know, to me, everybody, you know, when people have sex or when they make love or what they want to call it, to me, they're looking for the end, that orgasm. But, you know, my thing is not the orgasm. It's the journey. You know, I like the journey. I don't, you know, even if I don't come, you know, the journey is the thing that I like because getting there, working way toward trying to get to that is the, to me, is the most important part of the whole aspect of making love. It's not always about the damn explosion. You know, everybody want to come and then they want to go to sleep. But it ain't about that. It's about everything that's getting to that.
Yeah.
So that's why it's important to make the woman the importance. And I try to tell men this. Men, you need to make that woman the objective. Make her the reason. Make her why, you know, make her the priority. because you don't get yours, your shit don't happen. But you got to get her there, and that's why you got to fuck her mind, so that her body to come along. And that's what I know I went way off, but you know, my thing is that's what it's about. And I think that's what you were doing with this. When you do your poetry, to me, I get that you're bringing the mind process part of it in there, so that when you do meet, you know, that journey of getting there, you know, the climax is going to be, you know, whatever. It don't have to necessarily have to be the orgasm. And I mean, you know, what do you think about that, Jules? I don't know, because I know you write, and I know you're an erotic person as well, even though you may not, I don't know if you write erotica, but I tell you what, I know you're a loving, probably sensuous woman, and I know that you got something to say on that.
I have taken my stab at the erotic literature at one time, and I'm actually getting ready to try it again. I actually did a short story for Anna Jay in her Erotic Snapshot series in Volume 1.
Right.
Called it Lustful Violation. So I tried it a little bit. But to answer your question, I mean, well, going back to what you said about the journey, I have to agree with you 100%, because once you hit that explosion, it's done. Then it's like, okay,
absolutely.
Now what?
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, the journey definitely is the key. You know, you want to be able to experience all that both you both have to offer, and you can't do that once you done blown your load. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, this is my thing, and I don't mind telling people how old I am, because I look good for my age. I'm 50 years old, okay, and I know how to handle women. And when I say that, I mean that wholeheartedly, because my thing is if you make the woman the priority. And you give her that priority by taking your time with her and letting her see that she's a priority and showing her. I'm talking about in all things, not just sexually, but when you are with her sexually, you need to let her feel and know that she is. That's why you take your time with her. If it takes 3 or 4 hours to be with this woman, you go down on this woman and you eat this woman and you suck her and you lick on her and you do everything to this woman. Take your time with it. Trust me. If you would do that, men, I'm talking to you guys out there that's listening, you need to really just take your time out with this, because it ain't about beating it all the damn time. Like I hear these young boys talking about beating. Okay, you're going to beat somebody, it's more than just beating. Sometimes you want that kind of sex, but it's not all the time. It ain't about how long your dick is, how wide it is anyway. But then again, it's what you do with it. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is you just have to just take your time with a woman and give her what she deserves so that she can get there, because it's feelings with women. And guys don't understand that sometimes. You know, it's not, you know, we can look at something and get off by looking at it, but a woman is not going to do that. She needs to have feeling in it. Even when she goes out and cheats on you, it's feelings involved. If she's going to cheat, she's doing it for a reason, not just to be doing it in most cases. There are some that may go out there because they're not getting satisfied, but most of the time if a woman does it, and y'all can tell me if I'm right or wrong, if they're going to do that, it's mostly because of some reason or some feeling that's involved, some emotional connection. Am I correct?
I would have to agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because,
most of the time,
they're not going to just go out there and just do it. I mean, there are some that do, but there's something that's not going on at home, and it's not just the sex. It's got to be other things as well. Because a woman, I know most women, will sit there and take the damn fucked up sex if the man is bringing home the bacon and doing a lot of other things in the right area, taking care of the kids and all that. But the sex might be fucked up, but they might stay there.
Right.
But it's got to be something else that's really going on to make them decide, okay, look, I'm going out here and find something else. So, guys, y'all got to realize beating the pussy ain't all what it always cracked up to be. It's like they say in these records, these rappers, you know, you know, it's more to it. You got to take care of your woman. You got to give her what she needs. I just wanted to put that out there today. I'm sorry. I just tired of hearing all these guys talking about, you know, how long their dick is and it's 3 inches from the ground and all this. And, you know, it ain't even about that.
So. That's true. Do with a 3 inch to a certain degree.
Jules, I'm sorry. Huh? Was that again?
Who you gonna use it on 3 inches from the ground? If I see somebody with a dick that long, I'm good. Don't even come over here.
And that's the point. I mean, most women are 7 inches inside anyway. You're not gonna get all that shit in there if you're 12, 10 inches anyway. So what's the use of you having just a piece of you in her and the rest of it is out? You know, I mean, it's just, you know. And you don't want to hurt. No, like you said, women don't want to get hurt. They want to enjoy the sex, not get, you know, stressed to hell. You know? So, I mean, and another thing, since we're talking about dick sizes real quick, and I'm going to get into Jules because I know she's going to be talking about her book here in the next hour. I promise you the next hour will be all yours, and I'm going to let Cotton do another, some more poetry. But I just want to get this out there. You know, women always blame men for dick size. Like they were the guys who decided, okay, I want a 2-inch dick, God. Give me this 2-inch dick. And give him the 12-inch dick over there. And then the women get with him, and the dude's small. And it's like, he's got a little dick. I mean, what is that? Is it about just the dick size, or is it also everything else he's bringing that makes dick size? Because sometimes dick size doesn't necessarily mean his actual dick. It might be what he's bringing to the table, like money or you know, other things. So can y'all kind of explain that to me, ladies?
If he makes her feel... For the most part, if he makes her feel if there's a mental attachment, and he knows how to work it in the bedroom, so you're right. It's not just about the size; it's about what he's doing with it. Because if he's just missionary and he ain't doing nothing else, he probably won't get a whole lot from her, and she's gonna get tired of that, and she's gonna say, you know what, I can't do this relationship with you anymore because you're not doing anything different, because you're not well endowed down there, so I'm going to need you to do some other stuff to make this sex thing work between the two of us. But it's really what he does with it. Some men don't know what to do with a small one, like some men don't know what to do with a big one.
Okay. Jules?
You caught me a little off guard, but okay. Let me try this.
Size
to me, I don't think is as important as whether or not the person stimulates your mind, you know, and you know, treats you like the woman that you feel you ought to be. I agree wholeheartedly. Definitely, variety is key, especially when you're not working with much. You got to be able to do some things a little differently, you know, as opposed to just like the old status quo. So it's not really about. I don't think it's really about all the size and everything. It's just, you know, I want somebody to be able to stimulate my brain, because from my brain, you know, if you stimulate my brain, then those neurons start to fire in and travel down to my body, and then everything else kind of falls into place.
Okay. Well, you know, that's the thing, and I guess I'm saying that, and anybody wants to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sex Radio. Call in. This is Grown Folks Radio. And the reason why I'm saying all this stuff is because I get tired of people thinking they have to be a certain way. I mean, yes, positions are important to be able to do, whether you're big or little or whatever. It's, you know, you want to have a variety of different things that you want to do. But the main thing is making sure that you're giving the woman what she needs, because, you know, it's just important. I just think it's important to make sure the woman is because of, you know, it's just hard really to get women where you need them to be, because they have, you know, a lot of times women don't get to have orgasms because men are not taking the time out to help them get there. I mean, they can get there if men would just take their time. And I think that's what the whole main issue is guys just would just stop being so in a hurry and just enjoy the woman. Like, you know, lick her, suck her, you know, be there for a while, for 30 or 40 minutes, and then get in. And then get out again and lick some more and just, you know, just make this thing, you know, don't just let the foreplay just be in the beginning and then you fuck and you nut and then you lay over. You know, you need to do more things. You know, make it more interesting. Don't always do the same thing all the time routinely. You know, just do some different stuff. You know, missionary can be erotic too, but, you know, you don't want to do that all the time. But to me, that's the most intimate of all, because you're looking down at the person and you're actually looking at each other. But, you know, yeah, you want to hit it from the back. You want to do the humpty, what I call it. You want to do all these different things. But what I'm saying is just, you know, those things are, I just think that you just have to take time off of women. And I just want men to really understand that. Call it what you want. Say I'm kissing ass, whatever you want to say. But I think that you'll have more women in you. You will have more women satisfied with you if you do the right thing with the one. If you got the one or whatever, just make sure that you're doing what's right for this woman. You know, don't let it be about you all the damn time, because it really isn't. Just so you know that. But, Cotton, you got anything else you want to give us? Another poetry, another poet, poem?
Actually, I do, but I want to do something a little bit different. This is actually from my previous book called The Love Letter. And I actually won't do all of this because it's a little bit longer than my normal. I try to keep them short and to the point as much as I can. I'll do this one called She Recognizes It, and it's from the book titled The Love Letter. She waits for the one who will add to her life. All these years she's been blinded by what she never had. See, no one has ever taught her how to identify a good man. He couldn't identify what a good man was supposed to do, how he dressed, how he looked at her, how he was supposed to love her. She thought that in order for a man to be interested, he had to eye-fuck her. So she had no idea of how she should respond to or what to do. At a very young age, men were touching her sexually. She thought that meant they cared fully. She didn't know that there was any other way that she could be, but that she should believe, except that maybe this is the only thing that meant love to her. Her mother was beaten because her father was cheating. Mom was bleeding from the bruises and the internal pain. Who was she supposed to blame? God wouldn't approve of this. Stepdad was using Mom's face to pound his fist, and they fought. She should blame the men she trusted. She was only 3 when he first touched her, but, and if he could have, he would have fucked. But her little vagina was too small, and this man stood 10 feet tall, so he did what he did, and she cried, thought this was the end of her life, and she screamed. But he lied, told her mother that she failed, took her to the bathroom, and he washed her, dried her eyes, and she cried. As she got older, she thought it was over because that man died. He got shot, rest in peace, but the touching didn't stop. Along came Uncle to hop on top. He lived in her home. He babysat when her mom was gone. He was family, so what should she do? She knew it wasn't right, him touching, trying to screw. Who was she to tell? At age 12 was the first time she yelled, told him to stop. He got scared, apologized to him, hoping she wouldn't say a word. She told her mother the very next day. Believe it or not, her mom had nothing to say. She had no voice, but her mom had a choice, and her mom chose to ignore what was said. Every night, she worried that he would come back to her bed. He never did, and she thanked God. These are the kind of men she had to look up to, molesters and abusers. So whose fault is it if she has no clue? She had no idea that a real man should look at her beauty, not just her booty. If she had been taught to recognize a real man, she would have taken a stand. At some point, you have to learn how to recognize what a good man is. And I'm going to stop right there because this one's long, like I said, but I just wanted to do that piece because those are the things that we don't talk about. I like to talk about love a lot. And I like to talk about relationships, but when you think about, because we always, you know, like the two gentlemen that were on a few weeks ago that were saying that black women are this and black women are that, and, you know, all the negative things you could think about black women. But for some of us black women, we've had to go through some things like that at a very young age. So when you start off young like that and there's nobody teaching you, because mom, she don't know better. She wasn't taught either. So who is to blame for her not knowing what a good man is supposed to do for her? At some point, we got to teach our young girls what a good man is supposed to do. So,
and it's interesting that you it's interesting that you went into that, because a lot of this happens in the households a lot, and you know, it's something that happens so much in within the African American community that it's just like, you know, it doesn't get talked about. It's like almost normal. I would say that out of every 10 homes, probably 8 of the homes, there's something like that going on somewhere. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's very, I mean, even today in 2012, you know, this thing is still going on. It's not something that was just back in the day or whatever. I mean, this is real. And, you know, it happens all the time. And you hear people saying, and it's amazing that you mention that, because, like you said, black women have been through a lot. You know, they're going through a lot with not enough men. Men are in jail or dead and not taking care of their children. And, you know, just a lot of things that, you know, men are not stepping up to the plate for some reason or whatever the reason, you know. And then they get this going on. You got these men that do come in and slam with mommy, and she don't want to let him go because she's trying to get something. He's messing with her kids, and not just the men, but the little boys, too, are getting touched. You know, the girls are getting it, but there's little boys that are getting touched as well. And it's just, you know, it's just profound, this whole thing. So, you know, it happens, and nobody wants to talk about it. And it's amazing that you wrote that piece on that.
Well, you know, it's not this the love letter was probably more personal to me than anything. So that was a story about me. And I didn't finish it because I wanted to just give a little bit, because like I said, it's a little bit longer. It's kind of a short story I put in there, because I really want people to be aware that, you know, because people always ask me, why am I the way that I am? But a lot of women think that I'm naive to the ways of men because I don't male bash. But I just don't feel like I should keep feeding negative with negative, because then negative can never turn into good if I keep feeding it the same thing. Mm. You know, at some point, you got to say, let me try to feed you some good as much as I can. Now, if I keep telling you that you're this beautiful person or that you're this good person, eventually you'll start to say, maybe I am. You know, maybe I'm not saying that everybody will get that, but I'm just saying, even if it reaches one person, and I'm not just talking about men, but even if it just reaches one person, you know that you made a difference in somebody's life, somebody, and they'll go on to make a difference in somebody's life, and it'll just keep rolling over till eventually maybe we can eliminate some of this type of behavior.
Mm-hmm. We have a caller, I think, maybe. Area code 313. You have a question? State your name. Where you calling from? You have a question?
Well, hello?
Yes. Area code 313. State your name and where you calling from.
Oh, wow. You can hear me. I didn't even know you can hear me. I called to actually listen. Mr. Stephen Jones.
But that's fine. I mean, if you don't have anything to say, I appreciate you calling in. But if you do have something, you can say it right now, sir.
Oh, no, not at the time. I called to hear the show. I didn't know. I must have pressed the wrong button. But
No, you're fine.
I'm agreeing.
I did it. It's not you, sir. I did it. I just thought, you know, but it's fine. If you don't have anything to say, it's okay. Thank you for calling in.
No, I'm completely in agreement with Jules. You know, it's pretty much it goes back to terms of, you know, to the Bible. You know, a fool's mouth is on destruction. You know, if you feed off into negativity too much, then it's going to continue to grow like a almost like a fungus. You know what I mean? But if you feed, if you keep delivering yourself, you know, positivity. You know, like she was saying, you know, about not feeding off into all of the negativity. You know, keep saying that you're beautiful, then eventually it's going to go. And you're right. You can touch a person with you. If you can change the world by just touching one person, because that one person that you do touch and that you do change and that you do convince of being positive and positive things, then, you know, they're going to touch someone else and so forth. Like my father touched me by being a good father. So therefore I am touching my son by being a good father to my son.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you calling in. And where are you calling from? Where's 313?
Detroit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we thank you so much, sir, for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so, Jules.
Yes, sir.
He was giving you credit for what was being said, but do you have anything to add to what was said there that Cotton was basically
saying? Well, actually, I wish I could take credit for that well-spoken response, but I'm sorry, I can't. Hi, Stephen. He's actually been a previous guest on She Say, He Say, so I am very familiar with him first. But
okay.
I can't take that credit, sorry. But I do agree wholeheartedly. I think, you know, positivity can be just as contagious as negativity, and the more positive things that you put out there, it'll start to spread. So
yeah,
I don't want to have to keep dwelling on, you know, all the bad things that happen, you know, because if you do, you know, you're going to always be stuck.
Right.
And you don't feel that way.
Right. But for the most part, you know, we already, like, you already know your flaws. I already know my flaws. I don't need somebody to come along and tell me what my flaws are, you know. What I need is for somebody to come along and maybe help me enhance or make, you know, change that or something, you know. If I want to change it. I might like those horrible things about me that you don't like, you know. But it's up to the individual. But at the same time, it's not my position to tell you about all the what a crappy person you are. That's not my position, and that's not how, you know, God would. That's not the kind of person that God intended us to be. Is to always tell somebody what a horrible person they are. You know, you find whatever you can find good in that person, and help them make, you know, add to that in some kind of way. But that piece that I wrote, like I said, was more personal. So it was more about my own experience, and I get a lot of, when I put that out there on Facebook, I get a lot of people saying, and I only put a little bit, but I get a lot of people saying there's a lot of women that need to hear this story, and so I just thought I'd take the opportunity to give a little bit of that, because, you know, it's in the love letter.
We thank you for sharing it here on Word Sexy Radio. We hear you, DV. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, y'all? Hey,
hey, DV.
Hey, beautiful. Hey, ladies.
Hello.
Like, I'm going to be honest with you. When I heard it, it made me want to punch somebody in the face. Really. And it kind of made me cringe, because you know it exists, but you kind of hate hearing about it. You hate hearing that it exists. You know? So, I mean, but it's a thing that happens, and it needs to be heard, because as long as we keep quiet about it, you know, nothing ever gets done. Everybody pretends like there's nothing wrong. Maybe they want to shut you in that dark room and pretend it doesn't exist, you know. So, I mean, it literally made me want to just jump out this car right now and, you know, punch somebody in their face. But, you know, I'm good now.
We don't want you to do that, DV, because we know you.
Yeah, I know. Because I'm on the freeway right now, so, you know, punching somebody in their car is probably a bad idea.
Well, DV, and Jules, DV is one of the panelists. He's one of the guest hosts that's always on here, and I wanted to give him a chance to say hi to you, Jules.
Hey, Jules.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, like, I wanted to talk about your video real quick, because I had a chance to see it today, and I know it's supposed to be serious, but it had me cracking up, so we'll talk about that later.
We're going to talk about it in the next hour. Yeah. The next hour is all Jules, so we're going to be talking about all of that, and she's going to be promoting and talking about all the things she's got going on as well. And I'm glad she called in for the first hour, because we definitely wanted to, you know, spend as much time as we can with her as well, and with Cotton. So, Cotton, what we want to do right now is, can you tell people how they can get your books and all that? Because we're going to do that real quick, and then I'm going to get a song in, and then we're going to get into the second hour. So, tell people, if they want to get you for a book sign, or if they want to just get your books or contact you, how can they do that?
You can go on my website. It's www.softspokenpoet.com. You can go there and get me my books, and you can request to book me, as well as you can go to Amazon to get my books, and you type in the keyword Cotton, which is Kottyn. It's not C-O, it's not. It's Kottyn, the Soft-Spoken Poet. So you can find me on Amazon. And this book, Sweet Mangoes, will be available February. Now, I want to say this real quick because I know I'm pressed right quick. But you know that, you know the, I told Red this earlier. But you know, if anybody's seen Kevin Hart's latest comedy stand-up?
Kevin Hart, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you know how he does the pineapples thing, right? So instead, because he does pineapples for the negative, for anything that's bad that's going on or he's uncomfortable, he says pineapples, pineapples, you know. So what I want everybody to do is when you have something good going on or somebody's done something sweet for you or nice to you or said something nice to you, whatever, just say sweet mangoes. And then post it on my page, on my Facebook page, Soft Spoken Poet. You can post it there on my regular page or my fan page, whichever. Just say sweet mangoes anytime something good, whether it's your kids, your honey, your mom, your dad, whatever good's going on, just type out the word sweet mango and post it up on my Facebook.
Okay. I can dig that. But one thing I want to say to Cotton O'Reilly real quick, I really appreciate that you are not a victim of your circumstances. Because there are so many of us out there who blame circumstance on why we're negative and why we're mad and why we always continue to do bad things. But you turn everything that happened to you into, you know, a beacon of perseverance, you know, and I really dig that about you. And I'm glad that you had the opportunity to say that because a lot of people really need to hear that aspect.
That's right.
Well, thank you, David.
I appreciate that, yeah. So that is true. That is true, and you know how I feel about you, Cotton. I told you earlier, so you know
yeah.
You just want to keep doing what you do, okay?
Yes.
And
thank you.
I also want to say right now, the other author that was scheduled to be on tonight, who is also a VSU graduate, Miss Amanda, wasn't feeling well, so we're going to bring her back another time, so that she can. You know, get her chance. I was hoping that the VSU girls could get on here today and kind of talk a little bit. They might have, you know, had some you know, some stuff they were going to do together, you know, just from school or something, just talk about. But that didn't happen, so we'll get her back. And also, Carmen, our other guest host, was in an accident today. So she's doing fine. She was in an auto accident, but she's fine. And she let me know she wasn't going to be here, so... So what I'm going to do, Jules, if it's okay, I'm going to play a song here because this is like halftime for us. And after that song, it's going to be about you, okay, baby?
Oh, no problem. I'm enjoying the show so far.
Okay. Well, we want you to enjoy it. but I wanted to do that. So we're going to play this song. It's Marathon. It's another one that I like featuring Flowtree. And we're going to play that by Raheem Devon. And then after that, it's going to be about you and what you're doing in the lifetimes of Miss Jules, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Just keep trying.
bringing it to you this evening, as we have Miss Jules, who's going to be bringing it to us in the next hour or so. If you're just tuning in, sit back and relax as we bring you Word Sexy Radio. Sexy Radio, and we just had Raheem Devon with Flow Tree bringing it to us, Marathon. And now we're in our second half of segment, and we're going to give it all to the one and only Miss Jules. So, Miss Jules, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
And we're fine. We're glad that you was with us for the first segment. And we're here now in the second segment with you, and we're going to let you kind of go over again a little bit about you, and then kind of just tell us how you got yourself into this book.
Well, I'm born and raised in Philadelphia, and as you know, of course, I went to school at Virginia State.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really think that I was always told that I was a strong writer, but I never really paid it any attention. My whole thing was write the papers, get the grades, get on out of school. I had
right.
no idea that I would ever be at this point with an actual physical book being sold people actually enjoying my work. It's been amazing. I really just wrote for personal recreation, actually. You know, it was one of those days where I was just sitting around and I was feeling some type of way about a particular issue that I was dealing with, and the only outlet that I had at the time was my pen. So I took it and I just wrote until I got tired. And then when I finally read it over, I just cried because it just felt like such a weight that had been lifted off my shoulders. So from that point on, I just, every now and again, I would just pick up a pen. Then a couple of years ago, I ran into Latoya Johnson, who is the publisher, CEO of Johnson Publications, and I pitched my story to her, Emotional Ties, and she liked it. And the rest has been history. For the last year, I've been doing a whole lot of different things as far as the radio show, She Say, He Say, anything that I could do to promote my book, whether it was training, whatever I needed to do to try to enhance this craft, because, like I said, I never thought that I would ever be here with a published book. People listening to She Say, He Say every week. I'm just Jules, that's all.
But, you know, that's usually how it goes. A lot of us, I think, had that same kind of story. You know, we started out, there's a lot of people that actually come in maybe saying that they want to be an author. But I can say for me, I can only speak for myself, this is 11 books later, that I am now saying that I am an author. Because, when I first started doing it, I wrote the first novel that I wrote on a whim, because it was just like I was looking at other books, I was reading other books, and I was saying, I could do this. I did a lot of, in college, I did a lot of writing, and a lot of people said I was a strong writer and all that, but I just never thought that I would be sitting here now, same as you, with a radio show and talking about books that have been published. So I understand where you're coming from, and that's usually how great authors come about, is when they don't know that they have that. Now, there are some that know, they come into it, and that's what their objective is, but I think that it's more stronger when you come in and you just write, just because writing, and you said you put it all on paper and you put it out there, and it just, you read it back and you cried because you couldn't believe it was you. And I know how you feel, because sometimes I write this, when I write my books and I go back and read them, I'm like, did I write this? I understand what you're talking about. I really get that. It's just amazing sometimes how you can do that. It's like, did I really do this? So I understand exactly where you're coming from. So how much of this novel that you have written, and I'm going to let the panel get in with questions, is this book about you, or is it mostly just a fiction, or is it some pieces of you? Because a lot of times, it is about us, but, how much is this really based on you?
Well, I can honestly say that some parts of the book are loosely based on my personal experiences. They're loosely based on things that I've seen other people go through. It just so happened that it just kind of worked well in the book.
Right. It's always easy to put something down about yourself, or even if you want to change it around, because that's why I love fiction, because you can make it be the way you want it to be. You can make your characters do what you want them to do. You can make things happen, as long as it makes sense and that you tell it well. You can do that.
Right.
So I understand what you mean on that. So panel, y'all go ahead. I know y'all got questions.
Okay, my question is this. Is now that you've been basically in the industry for a little while now, I mean, what do you see that are the pros and cons of being a writer or an author or, what have you? Because I know after a while, you get to pick up on some of the things that you dislike and some of the things that you do like and that you like to promote. But from your perspective, what are the things that, as writers we need to work on? And what do you see that you'd like, to focus on in the future?
Well, I think, in terms of the pros and cons of writing,
first of all, I'm going to tell you, I have an attention deficit, so to write a full novel is a chore for me because I get so distracted, you know, because I might find another story that I want to tell more so than the one that I'm currently writing, so I'll just kind of leave that alone and then go to something else and leave it unfinished. So now I would have, like, a whole bunch of different little stories that were that do have the potential of being really good, but they're not finished. So that's just me having to go back and do a whole lot of cleanup and which one I should, you know, focus on the most, what kind of mood this particular piece puts me in, if I want to finish it or not. But one of the things I think is really difficult for me is the whole promotion part, because I've always been kind of a quiet person and laid back, and I've only been like that loud and energetic person around my family and friends. But to actually have to do that in order to pitch a book, that is definitely a challenge for me. So I'm getting it, I'm learning, because when I started the blog talk show, I was looking at the publisher like, are you serious? Like, I have to get on the radio and on the internet and talk to people like every week. And it wasn't easy for me because I had to reach out to a lot of folks. And yes, the networking connections are great now, but to actually do it, that was a chore. The pros are, once I actually got the story out and I read it, it felt like a sense of accomplishment. And I started, after that, it was like everywhere I went, if I saw something, if I heard a song, automatically that triggered some type of story and I would write it down. So the pro side of this is that I've actually tapped into a side of my creativity that I didn't think I had. And now that I have done so, I can't stop now.
I know that's right. That's good. And, you know, you having all these different stories, you know, that happens to me all the time. I mean, that's where I know that you're real with this because, you know, I might be sitting there, and the way I write, some people come up with a story first and they come up with a title. Me, I come up with a title first and then I write the story around the title. I can get a title. I might be listening to a song or something comes up, or something, somebody might say something, and I can get a title. And I have to write that title down so I can come back to it later because I might be working on something. And a lot of times, like right now, I'm writing three books at once. So I have to go, when I get so far on one, I go back to the other one. I can start there, and it gives me that break in between from each one of them to be able to do that. So I understand where you're coming from with that. And it's just a way of juggling, and it's just how you do it. I mean, I don't know what your objective, if you want to write more than just this one, or, you know, it just depends. I'm sure you want to do more than that because I feel in your heart, I don't know, but I feel from talking to you that you are a writer, that you're going to do more than just this one novel. But my thing is, you know, that's just part of what it is in our creativity. We have those different things that happen, and that's how it happens for me. I don't know, with DV, how does it work with you?
Well, I've always been really, really bad with titles. If the story strikes me, I have to get it out, and I always worry about the titles later. And honestly, after talking to my publisher and giving her the synopsis of the story, she was the one that actually came up with emotional ties, because I came up with something totally different. And honestly, I like emotional ties much better. But
yeah, it does sound
I've
good
always really been bad with that. And I feel like as long as I get the story out, I can worry about the title later. But,
well, you know, like I said, everybody comes up with their own way of doing it. There's no right way to do it. So, I mean, if you write the story first and then you come up with a title later, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I'm just saying, you know, everybody has their own way of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with me, when I do it, like I said, I might come up with a title first. Sometimes I might write a story, but most of the books that I've written, I came up with the title, and I wrote the story around that and got a synopsis out of that. But, I mean, everybody's different, you know, so there's no right way. But I think we may have a question. I don't know if we do. A caller, area code 215, do you have a question?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Jules, this is Real. I just want to congratulate you on your book and everything. I did get a chance to pick it up, and I read it, and I must say it's wonderful.
Wow, thank you.
And what is your name again, and where are you calling from, sir?
It's Darrell. My name is Darrell Lawrence, and I'm the playwright that's doing a play, Do You Trust Your Best Friend, next month.
Okay. So you're supposed to have been calling in. I was waiting on you, brother.
No, I actually got caught up, on another interview, and it kind of ran late, man. But thanks for taking my call.
That's what happens. That's what happens when you're a popular guy. Just to bring everybody up to date, this brother that's here now, he's a playwright, and I spoke with, I want to say as your publicist, about you coming on and doing a little
producing.
Yes.
Yeah, Nicoletta.
Yeah, your producer. She called in, called me a couple of days ago and asked if I can get this brother to come on for just a minute and kind of talk a little bit about his story. But before we do that, you want to hang on for a little bit. We're going to give you a little bit of time here because we still got about 50 minutes, but I want to give Jules a little bit more time, and then we're going to let you talk a little bit about your play and everything you got going on, okay? Is that all right?
I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Not a problem. Okay. So, Jules,
yeah.
Back to you, because your story is so, you know, I mean, it's just inspiring to me. So now that you have this novel and it's out there and actually tangible, where somebody can actually pick it up and pick it up and read and get some feedback to you, just like the brother just did. How do you feel with that? How do you feel about that?
Honestly, I still can't believe it because I was so worried about it. You know, this being my first piece, I wasn't really sure how it was going to be received. All I knew is that this was a story that was on my mind, and I had to tell it. I had the avenue in which to get it put out. And now that people are reading it, when I've got that first reply back or the first comment about the book, I was so shocked because it was almost like, oh, my gosh, they like me. They really like me, you know. So
so I can't do a review if I don't have the book.
I'm so sorry. I thought you got a copy of the book.
Oh, no, baby, I do not.
I had to make a phone call. Oh, wow. I'm so sorry.
Yes. You need to get it to
but
me.
It
so
was
I can
very interesting. I got that first phone call, and it was, I just couldn't believe it. Like, oh, my gosh, this is my story, and people are actually liking it. And the thing that really stood out for me was I was talking to a young lady right after she read it, and she said, you know, this is me. You know, I just swore you were talking about me in this story, because it basically captures everyday issues that young girls go through about, you know, love and thinking that you're in love when actually it's not love at all. And then once you chase that love, it's like, and you get hurt, and it's like, okay, now you're scarred. So what do? You know, and then once you pick up the pieces of your life and move on, it's like, now you've gotten something, here comes something else that distracts you from that true love, you know, and that turns out to be the one that actually hurt you in the first place. You know, it's like, what are you doing here? You know, the choices that females make, I'm not going to say females, but, you know, anybody, they all have consequences. And in this story, the main character experiences those consequences as a result of her choices that she made.
So do you think it might be a sequel?
Oh, absolutely. There is a sequel coming up, Emotional Ties 2, Fatal Connection.
Okay, well, that's what I wanted to know. I wanted to hear that.
Oh, yeah. For this year, I have a few other projects. Two of them are collaborations. One is Seductive Slumber with my co-host, T-Real, and then there's another collaboration that's going to be coming down the pike for 2012 with T-Real, Latoya Johnson, publisher, CEO of Johnson Publications, and myself. And then I have two others coming coming, which one of which is the emotional ties too.
So we definitely need you to come back on the show, definitely in the future, so that we can continue to get updates from you on that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm trying to be like you all, like 6, 7, 11 books deep.
Well, you can. All you got to do is continue to do that, baby. It's all in you. You just got to bring it out.
Well, I do have to realize, I have to take into account that I am still in school, so that's one challenge that I have, you know, trying to make the shift from academic writing to creative writing, but it's been going well so far. But I do have to be mindful that I have to try to maintain a certain balance, and I do have to honestly thank my husband for that, because
right.
had he not been around, you know, there would be a lot of things that I wouldn't be able to do at this point.
Right. So, Cotton, I know you have a question.
No, I don't have a question. I just can't wait to read her book now.
Yeah, but a reason why I thought you may have had a question is because of the subject matter.
No.
Because
this is
something that's very deep to you. You know, relationships of how people are, you know, they think they're in love and you know, there's just different things, different scenarios of people, what they think is there and how people play games. You know, that to me, I'm intrigued with that because there's so much game playing out there now. And you have so many people that say that they're not, but they really are. And they always say that they want a certain type of man or a certain type of woman, and then when they get it, they don't know what to do with it.
That is so true. That's so true. And when you think that the grass is greener on the other side, it really isn't. So it's all about making sure that whoever it is, that you're comfortable with yourself and you know what you want.
Right. But you sort of want a body that's fucked up. We don't want that shit. Hey, you know, we definitely don't want that. So is there anything else you want to say as far as your novel? I mean, do you want to kind of tell people how they can get in contact with you if they want to do book signings, how they can get your book? You know, can you kind of give us a little info on that? Because we're going to get the brother here to talk about his play in a minute.
Oh,
but we
absolutely
want to get you to say, you know, give us some information on that.
Well, you can find the book. You can actually go to my website. It's www.authorjules.com. And there are links on the page that will direct you right to Amazon.com to purchase the book. It's also available on Kindle. And you can also go to
www.johnson.com.
Yeah, go get it on ebook. And you can also
I wanted the real one, but, you know, shit, you didn't send it to me. So I got.
I'm going to make sure I make that happen. So I need your,
okay.
I'm going to need your mailing address, and I'll send one to you ASAP.
I will get it to you after the show. I will go on your site, and I will give you my address.
All right.
And I will get that. And I'm still going to buy an e-copy because I want to support you some kind of way. You know, I don't just want to get free stuff. Everybody thinks Red Snapper just want to get free shit. But, no, I want to support as well because I want people to support me. So, but,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
We're definitely glad that you're here. And don't go anywhere because we're not done with you yet. But, brother man that's here.
Yes,
what's your name again, brother?
Darrell.
Darrell, what is your full name, sir?
Darrell Lawrence.
Okay. So we want you to kind of talk, give us some information on this play that I've heard about that you have going on. And, you know, give us some information on that and tell us how it's going and how you came up with it and how it, you know, how people can get to it. You know, just kind of give us some info on that.
Well, how the play came about, I was in Miami. And I did a youth fair for a film festival. And an independent film I had in the festival, I won awards for. And the director of the program asked me, can I bring a play to his theater? I said, well, to be honest with you, I don't write plays, but I know somebody who does. So I came back to Philly, and I shot the idea to a couple of individuals who I knew do plays. And everybody was already doing their own thing, had their own thing going on. So I said, well, you know what? it ain't no nothing but to just do it. So I just sat down and wrote it myself. And I'm kind of glad that the people that I went to told me no, because if they had said yes, I would have never wrote this play. So that's how the idea of the play came about. The name of the play is called Do You Trust Your Best Friend?
Okay.
That's the name of the play. And one day I was just sitting down just thinking, and for this to be my first play, I want it to be a memorable one, because you're always going to be known for the first thing that you did. And I want it to be nice, so I just sat down and just, wanted to come up with something creative, but also a subject matter that everyone can relate to directly or indirectly. And I just sat down, played with some ideas, thought about some situations that I've been in indirectly, and just created a story behind it.
Okay, so can you give us a little bit, without telling us what the play is actually about, but just kind of give us a kind of, you know, what we can get from, I mean, you know, kind of give us something on the play. I don't want you to tell the story, but just kind of give us an idea what the play is.
Basically, it's about a young couple who are engaged, and these young individuals have an excellent relationship. And the fiance's best friend secretly has a crush on her best friend's fiance. And the gist of the story is about, you know, relationships, trust, and also how much information you should, you know, share with your friend about your mates. Because sometimes you'll think that you're given just general information, but the whole time that person at some point will use that information against you.
Yeah, I mean, my experience is, if you don't want nobody to know how good your person is in bed, you don't definitely want to tell your friends about it, because all it's going to do is entice them to want to try it.
But especially for some reason, people for whatever reason don't understand that. And I think sometimes if you call someone your friend, I think that you feel as though that you can tell them and share them things, but it's some things that you should keep sacred between you and that person.
Yeah, that's just like, I don't, and I'm taking this, I'm going to take this off key here, but that's just like people who like to film their sexual activity with somebody. I don't understand that one either. You know, some guys that want to record who they was having sex with for some reason, and I guess as a trophy thing, or I don't get that. But anyway,
I think as far as that is concerned, I mean, maybe people are just trying to, you know, live out, you know, their porn star fantasies or something like that. You know, maybe
really
that's why they decide they want to tape.
You're not one of those guys, are you?
Oh no. Oh man, you trying to get me?
If you are, that's your business, man. No, I'm sorry, that's your business. No, that's your business, bro. No. Okay, getting back on, but okay. The play, okay. Now, is this play actually out? Do you actually have it in production? Is it actually out where people can actually go and see it?
Well, actually, we did the play in Phoenix, Arizona, last year, and we recently did the play December 3rd. In Philadelphia, and the reaction that we got was definitely overwhelming. But first, before I go any further, I definitely had to give a shout out to the most talented but beautiful cast ever assembled, and that's Temperance Jackson, Ronnie Graham, Tiffany Barrett, John Candace Terrell, Matthew Nadeau. To my producer, Nicoletta, my director, Walter DeShield, Kismet, Tiffany Nicole, everybody who worked with this production. Sid Redman.
Why didn't you get them to call in, brother? They should have been on here. We should have been talking to them, at least some of the cast members.
Nah, well, you know what?
Maybe get them to call in real quick. We got about 30 minutes.
You know,
You know what? Some of them are already in situations right now promoting. So I'm gonna, you know, let them be where they are right now, promoting and holding it down wherever they are.
I hear you, brother.
You gotta have everybody spread out.
Okay. Okay, so what's new? What's gonna happen now? That you say you have this thing going and it's been doing a little bit. So are you going to try to get it funded to be spread it out, or are you looking for someone to produce it further?
We're doing it again, Valentine's Day weekend, February the 11th, at the Temple Performing Arts Center. We're doing it again, and we're also going to be doing it
Is that in Philadelphia?
The February the 11th show is on Temple's campus, Temple University's campus. And that's going to be February 11th, Valentine's Day weekend, at 7 p.m.
Okay.
If anybody is interested, they can get their tickets at the Learcourt Center, or they can go to the website, www.doyoutrustyourbestfriend.com. And
okay.
On Easter of this year, we're going to be in Montgomery, Alabama, for three
excellent
shows.
When are you coming to Kansas City, brother? When you coming to Kansas City, that's what we. And they love plays in Kansas City. I'm gonna tell you right now, this is play heavy down here. So you need to try to get in the Midwest.
Hey, I tell you this, man. I got nothing but love for the Midwest, and I'm gonna do my best to get out there. But you have to promise me something. If I come out there with this play, do you trust your best friend? You have to host it.
Not a problem. All you got to do is let me know, brother, and I will definitely do it.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. I'm going to do my best to
all
get
right
out there sometime this year. And people that know
all
me
right
know if I say something, I'm going to do it.
Well, I believe
so
you.
I'm going to be out there to see this year.
All right, brother, I believe you. And I'm expecting that call. So you make sure you do that. But we thank you for coming on the show and promoting. And we're going to – you can stay on if you like, but we're going to let this last 37 minutes be with the ladies. So we're going to let Jules – if she has anything else for us, if she wants to read from her book a little bit, if she wants, she can do that. And we're going to let Cotton, if she'd like to do another poem, we have time. So who would like to go first?
Well, I do want to say thank you very much. And since Darrell brought it up, I do have to thank the actors and actresses who participated in my film short. Louis Duvall, Raquel Delore, Naquetta Alford, Atif Lanier, Noi Lee, all of those individuals were very instrumental in bringing the film short to life. And most important, my husband, Sid Redman, who was the director, editor, and all of the above, he was the one that actually was able to get everything posted and looking as good as it can look, and I'm very appreciative. Like I said, I was surprised to see the synopsis of my story being acted out in a film short. I thought it was really cool. So,
well, I like to see it. I have to see it, and I'm definitely going to have to find it somewhere where I can actually see that, and I hear somebody's computer. But I would definitely like to see the film short. DB said he saw it and he's gone now. But he said he saw it. He thought it was hilarious. So I want to go and see what all the laughing about.
Well,
Jules, I'm surprised. I never got a chance to see it yet.
I'm going to tell on myself,
Jules,
though.
Is it on YouTube or is it on your site or what? Is it on Facebook?
It's actually on my website. It's on my authorjules.com website, and it's also on Facebook, but you know, usually with Facebook it goes further down in the feeds and stuff like that. So if you want to see it, it's on my my website under video trailer, and you'll be able to see it. Also, I will be on February 11th, I will be with my fellow Johnson Publications authors at Black and Nobel at Broad and Erie on February 11th from 12 to 5 p.m. And they just have us working this month for the month of February, because we actually have three signings back-to-back the last three Saturdays of February. So February 11th will be at Black and Nobel. The 18th will be at Media Bookstore in Claymont, Delaware, from 12 to 6. And on February 25th, I will T-Real and I will be down at the Cartel Cafe and Books in Oxon Hill, Maryland, from 2 to 7 p.m. So we are really, really busy. We're working on some community-based projects, Authors with a Purpose, and you can find that information also on my website.
Okay. Well, it sounds good to me. And we're definitely going to support you and make sure everything, you know, that you got going on out there is, you know, at least repeated again and all that. So we definitely will do that. And we're going to keep up with you because, you know, I always keep up with you anyway because I see a lot of things that y'all do on Facebook. And like I said, the show, I got a chance to listen to your show before. And, you know, you got something going on, and I appreciate that. And now you got Arthur to add to that. So, you know, isn't it great that you just letting all your creativity just flow?
I'm having a hard time digesting all of it because I'm still in disbelief, but I'm enjoying everything I'm doing right now.
You're a published
author. I'm enjoying every minute of it. I'm very, very thankful that I do have this platform, whether it's Blog Talk Radio or actually getting out to meet people. And had it not been for me taking that leap and getting out there and hooking up with Johnson Publications, the Emotional Ties probably would have still been sitting on my computer.
Right. Well, you know, that's how things happen, is you got to actually go out there and believe that it's going to be, even if you don't, you got to do it. Even if you don't have nobody there to support you, you have to step out and do it because 4 years ago, I had no book, not one. And here I am, 4 years later, with 11 books, and I have a radio show that is hot right now.
It certainly
is. And I have some other things that's going on. So, you know, it's just one of those things that's going on. If you believe in it, you just got to do it. And you can't be waiting on somebody to tell you. You just got to do it and make it
yeah.
so. You know,
yeah,
that's how it happens.
That's very important because, you know, when I first started, I told people what I wanted to do, and they laughed at me. They told me that I was crazy.
Yeah, you know,
they told me what I was going.
Right.
And to be honest, I didn't use that to try to prove them wrong. It was more of me believing in myself. And I always tell people I don't do anything to try to prove anybody wrong. I prove it to myself that I can do it. And I motivate myself, and I think everybody should be self-motivated. I don't think anybody should use any kind of any negativity towards them as motivation. I think it should start with yourself and prove it to yourself that you can do it and believe in yourself and trust that God is going to have a path for you to do the things that you need to do.
Well, that's what you got to do because I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to let I know Cotton has something to say. I'm definitely going to let her get in because, you know, it's real. But what I was going to say is this. You know, when I wrote my first book, you know, I didn't have the greatest editors and all that stuff. And, you know, people will try to criticize you. And you got a lot of book clubs and stuff out here that will do that because, and they haven't written nothing. But they're the ones that give you the reviews. And so they'll dog you and say your shit is fucked up and all this and you can't do this and why'd you write that and why is this book even out? Instead of them trying to help you, you know, they ridicule you and dog you, you know. But don't let that stop you from going forth. You know, if it's messed up, then fix it and then keep going. Because if you don't, you know, it's about you. If you really like what you do, it's not about, just know that everybody's not going to like your craft is what I'm trying to say. There's going to always be somebody that don't like what you do. But you can't let them people stop you. You have to go forth because there's more people that like what you do than those that don't. So
right.
My thing is you got to keep going on with it and believe in it, like my brother just said, and you just go ahead and do it. People laugh at you and say, they was laughing at me too, you know, Red Snapper. You know, they was laughing at the name because of the fish. But now Red Snapper is a name that people know as an author as well as a fish. So it's not just the fish. You know, sometimes when you hear erotica, they say Red Snapper. You know what I mean, it's getting like that now. So had I not made my brand, and that's what you got to do is make your brand. It's not the book. It's not the product. It's you. Once you get your brand out there, people know who you are, they're going to follow you. That's why Zane can put her name on anything she wants, and people will buy it even though it's garbage. Because it says Zane Presents. That's how you do it. So that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to get Red Snapper like that. Red Snapper Presents. Somebody read that. Okay, they'll read the book because it says that. It could be trash, but hopefully it's not. But you know what I'm saying. That's the kind of clout she has right now because of her being in the game as long as she has. You know, you can be the same way.
Right.
So go ahead. I know Cotton has some. Go ahead, Cotton. Go ahead, baby.
Well, I'm sorry, honey. I'm listening. I was listening to Jules. I do a lot of talking, so.
Okay, I thought you had something to say. Well, maybe it was Jules that had something to say then.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, I think if I never write another word again, I can honestly say that I actually accomplished something that nobody thought that I would ever do, which is to publish a book. You know, people tell me all the time, you know, you're all over the place. You know, you're into everything. And yeah, I am. But, I mean, I just felt that, you know, this book now has been such an accomplishment for me. And I do believe more and more every day that I can do it. And I will.
Well, you know, you're an elite club. You're an elite club now because everybody cannot publish. Everybody wants to publish a book. And 80% of people that want to write a book is they want to write about themselves. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with writing about yourself. And this is what I tell people all the time when they come to me and ask me all this. There's nothing wrong with writing about yourself, but why? You got to make me want to read about you. What's so important about your story that I want to read about it?
Right.
You got to make it like that for me. And that's the way it should be, not because you just because you think it's intriguing. Hell, it's your life. Of course you think it's intriguing. So you got to write something so that I can want to follow why it is, you know, your pain. Just like when Cotton was talking about the things that she went through in her poetry. You know, I'm going to read that because, you know, she told me it was about her. I didn't know it was about her until she said it. But still, the thing is, you know, you got to make me want to read. Why is your story important? Why do I want to read about you? You see what I'm saying? And when I say you, I mean in general. I'm not talking about you personally, but I'm just saying, you know, that's what you have to do when you write. Like, I write erotica, but my stories are not just about sex. The sex carries it from one to the other, but if I took all the sex out of my books, you would still have a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I ensure that I do that because I want it to be that way. The sex is just extra, and it's very risque, and it's very detailed, so you will get off. If you're not getting off, if I can't get off on it, then why I expect you to get off on it?
Yeah.
That's what it's about. So your craft has to be strong if you're going to do it, is what I'm saying. And you can't let nobody stop you. Now, you can take it, you can take advice from people and take the meat from the bones, like people say, or whatever, and, you know, people are going to try to give you, you know, whatever. Even if you get bad reviews, you still got to keep going. You can't give up because, like I said, everybody's not going to like your shit. I got one, and I'm going to get off of me. I had this person that read, she did a review on my series of Scandalous Motives. She read the first book and said she didn't really get into it, but she said, I'm going to read the second one because the first one, I wanted to see if the second one was going to be better. She read the second one, and then she tried to say, well, you know, I didn't know if the second one was going to be better or not, but then I read the third one. She read the whole series. She did what I wanted her to do, whether she liked it or not. She did like it, but she didn't want to say she liked it. But she liked what was going on with it. You see what I'm saying? So that's what you got to do. You got to get people that if they're going to read it, you know, you want them to be able to get what it is that you're trying to give them in it. So,
right.
All right, now I'm done. I'm off the soapbox now. Go ahead.
I do want to ask Jules, because you did the book. I know when I did my book, I was excited. You know, I wasn't, like, jumping up and down excited. But that I had that whole feeling like, oh, my God, I wrote a book. I published a book, you know, because, you know, it wasn't something that I always wanted to do my entire life was write a book. But when I did, it was so exciting, you know, internally it was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, did you have that, like, same feeling when you were sitting, maybe you were sitting by yourself or maybe your friend or around, I don't know. Just always wonder, you know, what kind of, I never asked Red that either, but I know I had that experience, but I was by myself, and I was just like, oh, my God, I just finished the book.
Yeah, I did. And when I actually saw a picture of the finished product, I just lost it. I just couldn't. I mean, I was screaming, hollering, like, oh, my gosh, this is my book. It's, you know, it's something that I'm going to be able to touch. And then I just, like, called the publisher all the time, like, when can I come pick up my books? Can I get my books now? Where are they? Can I have them? You know, because I wanted to actually touch it. And when I picked it up, when I saw it and I picked it up and I touched it, it was just, I was numb for a minute because I really could not believe that this was mine.
Like I said, you're in an elite group now because a lot of people want to do this. And although there's a lot of ways to publish now, I mean, you know, mainstream is actually going out the window. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can get books out now.
Oh,
but still, when you do it and you know you've done it and you have it in your hand, that's what I was going to say. You said you had to ask me. When I had my first novel, and I still get like that with every book I do, when I get that book in my hand, it's like the first time I've never written one before. It's like I get so excited. I'm happy that I said I wrote this. And then when I start reading it again in its you know form of a book, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, damn, I wrote this.
I mean, I think that's a feeling. I think that's a feeling that regardless how many books or how many movies or plays we put together. I think when we sit back and look at it, that surreal feeling still comes over us like, wow, I really can't believe this is something I produced.
And you know what? Another thing that does it for you, too, is as you see yourself, you see your work get better. When you see
yes.
like, the first book you wrote and the next book you wrote and you see your writing improving as you go along, that
yeah.
really gets you. That really
yeah.
gets you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that I was a little bit in like some of the earlier writing that I've done. You can definitely tell from then up until now that my writing has changed. I've gotten to be just a little bit more confident about my writing. And at first, I was a little skeptical about some of the language that I use, you know, because I knew for a fact that my parents, you know, my mother at least was going to read the book, you know, but I had to get over that, you know, worrying about what people would think if they heard, you know, if they saw that I put, you know, I said a couple of curses in the book or whatever, or had some sexual situations. At this point now, it's like, what's done is done, you know, I'm married with three kids, so... whatever intimacy or sexual things that I put in the book, it's like, oh, well, I'm not worried about what people think about it now.
Well, you know, I'm 50 years old.
It
still be tripping on me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I mean, I write the stuff and I put it out there. I mean, damn, I'm grown. You know, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, it just...
Yeah, one of the other things, you know, after you... produce something, and I don't know about for you guys, but for me, I think it really hits me when I know all of the sacrifices, the money I put in, everybody telling me I couldn't do it, even at times doubting myself if I could really pull this off. And I think that is the more gratifying thing when your project is completed. And for me, that's what really gets me excited and emotional, because I say, you know what, all of these things were stacked up against me. People really don't realize how much I had to go through to get this done, and I got it done.
Yeah, to be able to complete something that you started. I mean, because there's a lot of people who say, and there's a lot of people who write stuff and don't get published or whatever. They just get to some point, and then they just leave it alone. I mean, you know, whatever reason, if they don't finish it, you know, it's on them. But to have something, like I said, you're an elite group now. To have something completed that is absolutely tangible, that can be touched by others, you know, it's you should be. You know, I applaud you because it's just something
that
a lot of people don't get to do that. And
you know, it's what it is. So.
And it's funny, every time I go to a sign-in and I tell them, you know, I tell people, you know, I'm a new writer, this is my first novel, and then it strikes up conversation with those individuals, you know, oh, I wrote a book once, or I thought about writing, and I'm like, what's stopping you? You know,
for a long time,
I got in my own way, because I was worried about what people thought, or if whether or not people were going to like it.
Right,
but
a lot of people. What they do is a lot of people. What they do is, you know, they say they want to write, and then they tell you they don't have time. That is the one that just really gets me, because they think you got to sit there and write the whole book in one session, and you
right.
don't. All you got to do is take 30 minutes to an hour a day, if you have to write down a couple of paragraphs, and you can have a book in 3 months. And then
that
you get it edited, and you get it taken care of. It's just, you know, people always, they come up with excuses. Well, I just don't have time, or I want to write about me, and I, you know, my life, you know, and I'm being funny, because they always said, I want to write a book, and they said, what do you want to write about? I want to write about my life, you know, and just, you know, just blows my mind. You know, it just, what's so good about your life? I went through some stuff, you know, okay, all right, well, okay. Or they want you to be a ghostwriter for them. Or, you know, I get all this stuff. You know, I don't know. And then they get mad when you're at a book signing, they want to ask you about it. You know, and you don't have time because you're trying to make sure your books are getting signed and your money and all this stuff is going on. But they want to sit there and talk to you about writing. And then you try to be nice and you tell them, okay, look, here's my card. Or if you really want to talk about this, can we talk about this another time? Because right now is not really a good time to be talking about it. And they'll get upset with you and say you're an asshole or whatever because you're not listening to them about what they want to do. You know, those are the kind of things you're gonna face. But you just, you know, it's just, you're not. You know, you're just trying to, you want to help people because if they're serious about it, and I always tell them if you're serious, then give me a call or let me know. And then when you don't hear from them, you know they're not. But, you know, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I get it. I get it like that too, because I get everybody is a poet. I tell them I'm a poet.
Right.
You know, I wrote something. I started to recite it, but you know, I don't know yet. Like, okay, everybody's a poet.
Right.
Yeah,
and
but
it's funny. You know, yeah. If you're really passionate enough about it, then you'll go ahead and get it done, and you'll find a way to make it happen. But if you just, you know. Dabbling, you know, like Red said, I get people all the time asking me, how did I write a book? What do I do? I even had some angry people that were frustrated because they felt like nobody was buying their product. And I say, well, if you're writing expecting people to buy instead of just listen, then you'll probably never be successful because that's not why you want to really get into this.
That's another thing I was going to say. This is not a get-rich-quick deal. If people are out here trying to get paid, you know, then you're in the wrong business because you will get paid, but it's going to take time. You know, I got 11
right.
books out. I'm not rich. And there's a lot of these mainstream authors that y'all think are rich that's working regular jobs every day.
Right.
You know, people just don't understand the literary game. You get money. You get paid. I get money from my books. I'm not saying that I'm not getting anything because I am. But the thing is it's not enough like my frat brother Eric Jerome Dickey to sit back and he can just go to the Bahamas and write a book. I'm not getting paid like that. But he worked to get there. And you can too, but it's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. Now, all these people like J.K. Rowling and all these people who have these books who are now movies and stuff, you know, her book was out for 20 years. The Harry Potter series was out for 20 years before it became anything. You know, it takes time. You know, there's some people that might get a book like Precious. Okay, that became, I don't know how long Precious was out before it became a novel, but okay, it did. But it still doesn't mean that you're going to, you know, just because you got a movie that you're going to be, you know, it just takes time. You should be doing this because you love it. That's why I write. I write because I love writing. I love people reading and telling me about my characters and they believe in them. It's not always about the money. Yeah, I want to get paid, but it's not always about the money. If people read my books and they love it, I'm happy with that. But that's me, though. Maybe everybody else is in it because they want to get paid. I don't know. So, I mean, if that's the deal, then, you know, you might want to look for some other way to get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not the biggest experience that I had also. I don't have time, you know, because of the fact that I was working a full-time job and going to school and trying to maintain a family. But, I mean, if you keep saying that you don't have time, I mean, it's never going to get done.
Absolutely, because you got to have time, first of all, because even if you was with a mainstream company like Simon & Schuster or something like that, guess what? Who's marketing you? You. They don't do it for them. You still got to market yourself. So if you don't have time to write, you ain't got time to market it. So how are you going to make some money? Just because the book's on the shelf don't mean somebody's going to buy it. And the average book life is about 6 months. So after that book, and they don't know who you are, guess what? It ain't going to get sold.
Very true.
So I just want to put that out there for those that are listening out there that want to write. You know, you got to love what you're doing, because that's what it should be about anyway. It should be about you loving what you do, and then the money just should be icing on the cake. It should be I'm doing this to get paid, because I've had people come to me thinking, oh, I got this book and I got my cover, and you want to publish under my publishing company, and you're telling me all this? First of all, you don't tell me that. And if you go to other publishing companies, they're not going to let you tell them that either. You know? you're supposed to be coming to me, not kissing my ass, but you should be coming to me humble and saying that I really want to get this out so we can help you do it. Don't come to me telling me how I want my book and I want this cover and I want this person on it and all this. And then you get mad when I don't sign you. It's not going to happen like that.
Wow.
But I've actually had people do that. Actually come to me. And then they got pissed off because I wouldn't sign them. I have somebody right now that's an author that has a couple of books out now, and for some reason they want to sign with my company, which is not a problem. But the thing is they think they're supposed to automatically sign with me just because they got books out. That doesn't work either.
Yeah.
Why are your books not selling? What's going on? You know, there's a lot of things you got to look at. So, you know, it's we call it a literary game, but it's a business. It's just like the music business. It's just a different product. If your units are not selling within that quarter, guess what? You get dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing. And even if you're self-publishing, the difference with self-publishing is you get to say whether it drops or not, because it's your product. It's not under nobody else to tell you that they're going to send your books back to you. You know, that's just it. You know, consignment deals and all that. I mean, we can talk about all that, and that's another show. But, you know, it's a lot of stuff that goes into this that people don't see. They think you got a book, you're just automatically rich, and you're getting paid. And that's how they treat you when they see you out there. Oh, you got books, how you must be, you know. Anyway.
Now, I think if you got books out, that definitely gets your name out there. You know, I can't say that, you know. I mean, I'm thankful for the increase that I've gotten thus far, but it's really not about the money on the front end, because nobody knows you. And in order for you to be able to make the kind of money that you want to make in the long run, you have to put yourself out there so that they can know you. And
another thing that you have to do, another thing you have to do, I'm going to tell you, you got to be humble. You have to be humble, and you got to just, you know, stay humble and not think that you all that when you do get big. I mean, I got all these books, but I'm still the same person. I don't think that I'm better than you because you only got one book and I got 11. We authors. We are the same, on the same level. There's no difference in me or you. We just trying to get our work out there. That's how I look at it. But you do have some authors that think they're better than you because they got 20 books out or whatever. They got a couple of movies or whatever. Whatever. I mean, they should have some arrogancy. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have some, but to think they're better than you? Come on. I never get that way. If God blessed me to have movies with my books and they get big, I don't ever want to be that way. Ever. So my thing is I'm on the same level as anybody else that's writing. If we write it, you love writing and I love writing, we can sit down and talk together, and I will give you what I know and you give me what you know, because you can help me just as well. So there's nothing that I got more on you. I just been writing longer. That's all. That's the only difference.
And I think out of all of the people that I've talked to along this journey over the last year or so, I found that so many authors, they've been so helpful to me, and I am truly, truly grateful, because some of the authors that I've spoken to on Facebook, you know, they have given me information, tons of information that I would have otherwise had to pay for.
But that's good, mm-hmm. because I'm going to tell you, when I started out, I wasn't getting all that. And that's good that you're getting that because, you know, there was a lot of people that was, you know, they look at you as competition. Like, nobody can read more than one book. You know, I mean, they can read all our books. We need to write so that we can have a bookstore of books for people to buy. They'll support us all if they like it. But to have another author dog you and not give you information because they worried you're going to outsell them, it's ludicrous to me. It's really fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can read your book and then they can read mine or read yours. It doesn't matter. They can read. They're going to read more than one book. But you got people that feel like that. You got people that feel that way. Oh, I ain't telling you nothing because I don't want them to outsell me. Mm-mm. No. Why? That's the problem with us.
You have so many people out here that have a story. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are all writing within the same genre. That's what makes literature so wonderful. And because everybody has a story, but it does not have to always be urban fiction or inspirational. It could be a children's book, you know.
That's right. And the lady that was going to be on tonight, she did a children's book, but she got sick, and I really wanted to talk to her. But she's going to come on another day. And, you know, we have everybody on Word Sexy Radio. I know it's called Word Sexy Radio, and a lot of people think it's erotic all the time, but it's not. We have everybody on here who's serious about writing and wants to put something out that actually has something out, you know. That's what we do here on Word Sexy Radio. So, you know, and we like for you to come back because we got like 8 minutes. We want you to come back, and you know, I know you have your own show to promote, but you can promote on Word Sexy Radio as much as you like. Come here.
Well, I appreciate that, and I thank you once again for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed myself.
Well, I'm glad you did. And Todd, we thank you for your poetry and your love and sweet mangoes. Everybody go out there and get sweet mangoes. And Jules, the name of your book again is called
Emotional Ties.
And we want you to get that as well. We want you to get that book and support each other. We need to support each other. We need to do that. I'm going to get you my address. And if you want me to pay for the book, I'll pay for it. I don't care. I just want the book. Okay?
I will send that book to you. Just send me the address, and I will send it to you right away.
All right. I'm going to get the address. You need to do it on Facebook, or how do you need to go to your site on Facebook?
You can inbox me on Facebook.
Okay, I'm gonna do that. But you know, I'm so glad that you came on, and I'm glad that you're the humble person I knew you were, because I can see that in your picture. And I like I said, we have assholes sometimes on the show, but I love people that are serious about their craft, and you are, you know, and mm-hmm. Cotton is, and that's why she's always on. That's why I've been knowing her forever. And you know, I'm just glad to have people that come on the show and love being here. That's why I don't put out questions because, you know, I want people to come from their heart when they're on the show. I don't put questions out. Like some shows will give you questions that they want to ask you and you have these pre-answers and shit. I don't do that. I want you to be who you are so people know who you are when they come on the show, and then when you come back, you can be you and be comfortable. Because sometimes in interviews, you want that. If you do enough interviews, you get tired of having these interviews where you got to be, you can't cuss and you can't do whatever. But on here, you can say fuck you or whatever you want to say. If that's what you want to say, say it on Word Sexy Radio. So that's just it. So anybody got anything? Y'all want to promote your stuff one more time? We got about 5 minutes. Go ahead and, both of y'all, go ahead and say how we can get your books or whatever one more time.
Well, you can find Emotional Ties on Amazon.com. You can also go to johnsonpublications.biz and look up Emotional Ties, and the window will pop right up, purchase a copy. It's also available on Kindle. And you can also go to my website, authorjules.com, and all of the same information that I'm telling you now will also be there. To purchase the books, there are some, all of the websites are hyperlinked on my site so that it goes directly to the page so that you can purchase a copy. And I hope you pick it up, and I hope you like it.
And I know I will. Cotton, you there, right, baby?
I am here. You can find Sweet Mangoes, that's up and coming, along with my other books,
on my page, at www.softspokenpoet.com, as well as you can find me on Amazon.com. Look for me to be doing some more shows. I will be in Kansas City, June of 2012, doing Summer Love. I have some other shows that are coming between there, but I wanted to mention that because Red is actually going to be helping with that show and doing another part of that show as far as the book event. I wanted to make sure I put that out there.
Right. Yes, and if anybody's interested in Red Snapper books, you can get me on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. You know, you can get my books. They're out there, mostly online. There are in some stores, still trying to get that consignment. You know, you can get those books. And I also do paranormal, too, as well. I got a couple of paranormal series out there. One is a vampire, African vampire series called The Peculiar Ones that's out there. You can get it. It's erotic, too. And Curse of the Nocturnal Seductress is about a African princess who is a succubus. So, you know, I do a little bit of that, too, because we don't have that kind of stuff going on in our world. So I want to bring it to you. And you can get that. The latest book that's out there now for me is The Peculiar Ones. But I am getting ready to put out a book under my real name called Change Your Lifestyle, Change Your Life. It's about how I lost 110 pounds in 13 months and keeping it off. So we're going to do that as well, so you can get that. And we thank you, ladies, for coming on, and we're definitely going to keep supporting you. And, you know, you're welcome to come back anytime you want. So just let me know,
oh,
okay?
Thank you. Congratulations, too, for your weight loss. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, it is. And I think I look good now. Not that I didn't before, but I feel great. So I got a lot of stamina and stuff. So, you know, I just want y'all to know that. The brother's here. So just know that, okay? All right. We'll see y'all next time.
Thank you.
So nice to get. What a lucky coincidence. You're the angel who looked inside. I've been waiting in the check online. Don't shake off these cut-off ties.